defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
And you know, I was not really joking when I talked about the idea of Ray leading a choir in heaven or an orchestra. You know, we started this walk through the book of Luke. One of the thoughts that's in the back of my mind in the introduction is talking about Zacharias, his revelation, his visit from Gabriel, and then we go to Mary and the visit, and then now we're in the third visit. It's kind of interesting here in springtime to be talking about Christmas stories, but you remember Zacharias was a priest, and at his time when he lived, there were about 20 to 25,000 priests that lived throughout Judea, and in Judea, they were divided into 12 tribes, and there was 12 groups of those priests, and then once a month, one of those groups would come, and they would do their work at the temple, and then at the temple, lots would be drawn each day of the week that they were working, and one would be chosen to go in. And in a year, if the average lifespan of a priest is probably 25 years, 25 to 30 years, and if you do the numbers, the odds of getting the chance to go in to the temple by yourself like Zacharias did when he met Gabriel and learned the message were very slim that would happen. But I want to remind you that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of music. It's going to be a lot of singing. Contrary to what Ray and I believe, there won't be a lot of golfing every day of the week. You know, we're just going to have to put up with maybe one day a week, and it won't be Sunday. But there'll be a lot of singing. There'll be a lot of music. And I was daydreaming as the orchestra played, thinking, wow, 10,000 flutes, 10,000 piccolos, 10,000 trumpets, 10,000 moose horns that Jerry plays. What's that thing called? Tuba. Well, that's a tuba. Stepped on it, got squished. But think about it. You know, 10,000 angels singing. We're going to have, there's workforce. There's a theology, and I'm really chasing rabbit here. But there's a theology out there about our work and what we do, and a lot of it would be worship and praise. And I was thinking, man, when the skies open and the trumpets sound, how many will there be? Maybe 10,000. So we're talking about these visits that took place at the very beginning of Luke's gospel. And I've already mentioned Zechariah. He's standing over there. He can't talk because he doubted. His mouth has been shut for 9 months. His wife is very happy about that. But on the other hand, she's not. Because now, you know, he had the first foot and mouth disease of the New Testament. Elizabeth's over there. He can't talk, she can't walk, because she's up in age, and she's 6 months pregnant now as we read this story. And that particular time, but don't worry about it. Now, I found out this week. Elizabeth didn't need to worry about it, because Medicare was going to pay for everything. Do you know that all you guys, me included, that are on Medicare, you've got pregnancy coverage. You know that, don't you? It says it in the CMS Medicare Benefit Policy Manual. They can't just say Medicare Manual. They got to say all that. It says Medicare may cover reasonable and necessary skilled medical care throughout the events of pregnancy, beginning with the diagnosis of the condition, continuing through delivery, and ending after the necessary postnatal care. Baby boom, getting ready to happen in College Street Baptist Church. Medicare is going to pay for it. Elizabeth's over here, and she's pregnant, and it's an answer to God's prayer, and she's not worried about Medicare. And here comes Mary. Here comes Mary. She's just found out, as we're going to read it, that she's expecting her child. Can you imagine how Elizabeth may have felt that day when Mary showed up? Elizabeth's lived her life. Yes, she prayed for a long time for just one child. Yes, she prayed often and believed by faith. And yes, God has answered her prayer, but she's up in age. She's at that age where you don't expect to get pregnant anymore. Zacharias goes on deployment and comes back, and there you go. You know the rest of the story. But Mary shows up. How do you think Elizabeth was feeling? We're going to read some of that this morning. Here we are in spring. We're talking about the Christmas stories a little bit here at the beginning of Luke's book. And I want to remind us that oftentimes we sanitize the Christmas story. Twinkling lights, gentle and mild, sweet little baby, and all those things. But this was not the 21st century. They didn't have hospitals. They didn't have premarital care. I mean, prenatal care. They didn't have premarital counseling either. They didn't have all the things that we have today. Many women died in childbirth because they didn't have the medical attention that we have. The excitement of an expectant child is tempered in those days by what could happen, what might happen. And yet, here we are. Here we are, two women in the Bible story that God has approached through His angel Gabriel, two women who are about to be a part of the greatest story to ever be told in our life. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. If you have your scriptures or some way to read today, let me begin at verse 39. This is the third visit. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in a hill country of Judea, where she entered Zacharias' home, and there she greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, and this was kind of in worship. This is not a scream like, ah! This is a scream like, hallelujah. She exclaimed, blessed are you, Mary, among women. Not over women, not of all women, but among all the women, how blessed you are. And blessed, she says, is the child you will bear. Elizabeth not only knows that her child is the forerunner of the Savior of the world, the Messiah that they've waited for after 400 years of silence when nothing was coming. She knows that Mary is going to bear this child, Jesus. And now we don't know when she learns that, but here she gives testimony to it. Verse 43. But why have I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she. Happy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promise. And it says in to her, that's that preposition. It's really through her. It could be easy, about her, but it's more likely through her. And that's when this great song is sung by Mary. And it says in verse 46, and Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of this humble state of this servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. That's the key. We do call the Blessed Mary, but it's because of what God did, not because of who she was and what she was able to accomplish. And then she says, Holy is His name. When we have those moments, and we do, when we have those moments in life, in at home, at work, at play, in the store, wherever, and we recognize the grace of God. I hope you do that more than just here. When you have those moments, that's when we say, Holy is His name. That's when we say, Lord, You are awesome. And that's what she's saying. Holy is His name. Verse 50. Here's where she begins her series of He hath done. He hath. She says, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. For He hath performed mighty deeds with His arm, and He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. And He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, and He has lifted up the humble. And He has filled the hungry with good things, and He has sent the rich away empty. And He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, as He is to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He has promised our ancestors. So the scripture here says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. We don't know if she was there when John was born, but we know it was about 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now she's 3 months into her pregnancy. She's got to return home. And what do you think the neighbors said next? Well, I want you to understand that the main theme here is not about those neighbors. And it never is. The main thing here is about joy. This is a song of joy. This is a scripture of joyous occasions. And there are three people in this story today that are rejoicing about what God is doing and about to do in their lives. It's Elizabeth, it's the unborn child John, and it's Mary. So let's look at Elizabeth for just a moment. Verses 39 through 40. Now, we don't know when, as I said, God revealed to her the bigger picture, because God revealed most of it to Zacharias while he was at the temple and he was away. When he comes back, and whether God's revealed it to Elizabeth, we're not told that in Scripture. But we are well aware that she's well aware of what's happening. She knows the reason for her pregnancy. She knows the reason for Mary's pregnancy. And so here is Mary arriving there, and as soon as Mary speaks one word, greetings, as soon as she says that, things begin to happen in Elizabeth's life that haven't really started to happen just yet. She testifies of her faith. In the midst of our difficulties, do we testify of our faith? Now, we've talked a little bit, talking on Wednesday night, going through the book of Job. We're kind of past all the arguments. We're going to be finishing up pretty quickly. But we talked about the right things and the wrong things to say at times of grief. Most important thing we can say at the time of grief is probably nothing at all. Just being there, expressing love and affection, and not responding so much. But here's Mary showing up, and Elizabeth responds. With all the thoughts that are going through Mary and Elizabeth's mind, Elizabeth responds and says two things. She says the word blessed. Blessed, giving thanks. Blessed is not something I do. It's something I may be. But it's not because of something I've done. Now, don't ask me to say that again. You get the picture. We're blessed because of the grace of God. God's grace has blessed us. He has revealed Himself to us. And she said, blessed are you, Mary, among women. God's grace, of all the women He could have chosen, and He could have chosen many others, He chose you to be a part of this grand scheme of things in the world's life. She said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. And then she says, why am I so blessed for you to come visit me? And she reveals that when Mary greeted her, the baby leaped. She said, blessed is she who's believed that the Lord would fulfill His promise to her, through her. God's promise has always been there. The revelation of the Messiah coming has always been there. Now the Messiah has come. Now what we look forward to is His second coming. That day when I mentioned the trumpet will sound and the skies will open and the dead in Christ shall rise. But all of us who are here, when that happens, should it happen in our lifetime, we will know Him. We will know who He is. There will be no doubt in our mind. The world will be confused, but there will be no doubt. Elizabeth is not confused at all. Zechariah now is the one who doubted, not Elizabeth. From the beginning of this, Elizabeth, her joy is there. Her joy was when her prayers weren't answered. And then her joy was when her prayers were answered. She was joyful of the child that she would give birth to. She was joyful that God was answering prayers in her life. She was joyful that Mary had visited her, and she was joyful of Mary's faith. We should never be jealous of anything that God is doing in somebody else's life. And here's my final statement. Even though there may have been many questions about how and when and all of that, Elizabeth still exhibits faith that God is working in both of their lives. And that's a good thing. Second one is the joy of the unborn child. That's John to be, that is to come. Go ahead and move forward to the... When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped to her womb, in her womb. And as soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And here's all I'm really going to say about this. Even before the birth of John, he was rejoicing in the birth to come of Jesus Christ. Even during his ministry, when his crowd grew to a point, and Jesus comes along and he baptizes Jesus and Jesus begins his ministry, John rejoiced in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't get to live to see that fulfillment because he was killed. But when his disciples came and they were saying, what about this Jesus? Now, you're the man, John. You're a very popular man. You've got many followers. Some people think you're the reincarnation of one of the prophets. There was conflict between John's disciples and Jesus' disciples. And John says, the joy is mine. He must increase. I've got to decrease. I'm here for him. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. But he will bring the salvation to the whole world. How easy it would have been later for John to be jealous. How easy it would have been for Elizabeth to be jealous. But none of that is there. None of those things happen. The third joy is here, the joy of Mary. We'll spend just a little bit more time with her. The Magnificat. Mary was so filled with joy that she immediately began to lift her voice in praise. And whether it's a poem or a song that she sings, it's there for everybody to read. Paul said this. In Ephesians chapter 5, he said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be do those things which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit of God. Then he tells the Colossians later, let the message of Christ dwell in you richly, daily, immediately, constantly, as you teach them. In both cases, he says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs. In the second one, admonishing one another with wisdom, with psalms, hymns, and songs. There is singing even in Paul's life as we rejoice, and Mary is rejoicing also. Magnificat is the Latin word for anamamia, dominion, which means my soul glorifies the Lord. The first words out of her mouth is my soul glorifies the Lord. In the midst of what's happening, amazing things that are happening, things that are a little bit frightening that are happening, my soul glorifies God. Now, I read 8 times or more that she uses the word, he hath done this. He hath done some things for her, she says, for Mary, for God has saved her when he says, my spirit rejoices. God has chosen her when he says, I have been regarded by God. And he says, mighty is God for me and through me, because he has done great things through me. Then she talks about others. She says, his mercy extends to those who fear him. Our job and role as a church and as a family of God is to tell others about Jesus Christ and what he's done, and so that they too can have the same experience that we have. He says 3 things that God does as he extends that to him. He says, mighty deeds are done for the helpless. He's going to lift up the humble, and he's going to feed the hungry. And that'll be our role too in this community. Mary is seeing that God's turning things upside down. Even as a child, she's seeing this begin to happen. But it's going to happen more and more as Jesus' ministry. When the weak are dethroned, when the weak dethrone the mighty, when the humble scatter the proud, when the nobodies become exalted, when the hungry are fed and filled, when the rich end up poor, because God's grace, again, doesn't do it like the world thinks it ought to be done. Our God is mighty. The last thing she says is he hath done these things for Israel. Now remember, Israel is the new name of Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. Those 12 sons are the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so when she's talking about it here, she's talking about all of God's people. He's done this for us all. And nobody has been left out. In Matthew's gospel, it says, she will give birth to a son and you will give his name, the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You are his people. I am his people. We're the peeps. We're the ones. We're the ones that he created in his image. We're the ones that he's loved and blessed. We're the ones he's been disappointed in. We're the ones that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there's been 400 years of silence when nobody preached that, when nobody taught that, when nobody seemed to care. We were just going through the motions in those days. And it would be terrible if that's all we did here today. Mary never claimed to be somebody she wasn't. You read what she says about it, she says, I am the handmaid of the Lord. I am the servant girl of the Lord. Oh, that's so politically incorrect today. We can't be servant girls. We can't be servant boys. Because everybody's got to be happy and everybody's got to win. You know, we just live in a crazy world. But she never claimed to be anything more than that. She was just an ordinary girl that God did extraordinary, marvelous, miraculous things through. And that's why she's called blessed among other women. For God worked through her, and that's called grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor to you and me. You can't buy it, you can't make it, you can't earn it, and you can't find it. But the fact of the matter, even though you can't find it, it's not hidden. It's right there for anyone who believes. The scripture says, you believe in your heart, confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. End of the discussion. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and Him only, you will be saved. That's the end of the discussion. What else do we need to know? I end this way. She was just an ordinary person. But she had faith. And she did three things as she sang this magnificent. First of all, she kept her focus on God, not her circumstances. How easy would it be to say, oh my gosh, you know, the world's falling apart. I'm miserable. I need more money. I've got other problems. It's so easy to focus on circumstances, but she kept her focus on God. She kept her faith in the Lord. We are battling Satan at every point of our life. And the politically correct people who think they're correct are out there laughing at us, making fun of us. And it was never more clear than when the vice president said, I hear from God, and somebody said, well, he's got a mental illness. Well, I got a mental illness too. Because I hear from God all the time when I read His Word, when I pray, and then in the midst of just looking at the beauty He's created. So I'm mentally ill, so you need to get rid of me quick, because I've gone nuts for Jesus. She kept her faith. And then she kept her feelings in check. Now that's hard for me. Don't get over emotional, but she proclaimed what she knew. You know what she knew? She knew the promises of God. Have you read them? She proclaimed the promises. This is God. In the midst of her confusing time, in the midst of harsh circumstances that she would face, like those neighbors, she still praised God. She praised him for who he is, what he's doing, and what he will do one day. She praised him for his promises. Martin Luther, the Reformationist, said this: faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. Then it accepts the impossible, does without the indispensable, and bears the intolerable. Well, that's what Mary did. That's what Elizabeth did. That's exactly what was happening in their lives as they praised him in the midst of the circumstances that the world didn't believe. Writer Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So as a Christian today, I implore you, I urge you, I beg you to walk by the faith of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can live in a loving relationship with him, so that you can recognize his voice and have communion with him, so that you can discover and know and accomplish the will of God for your life, so that you make right decisions and go in the right direction and not wrong, and so that you can have courage to live in a world that is going to fight you. It's going to call you crazy, tell you you've got a mental illness. Because these are the things Mary did. Here in this Christmas story in the middle of April, Mary walked by faith. Elizabeth walked by faith. And it was only later, we'll read, when Zechariah agreed with the naming of John, that he got his voice back. For God got the glory. Walking by faith is simply being where God is and doing what God asked you to do. Let's pray. I do thank you, Lord, for this Christmas story in April. Thank you for the messages of the angel Gabriel, and then the message and the interaction between Mary and Elizabeth, and what you did in their lives to show the world that you were not a God who was non-approachable, but that you are a God of love and grace and mercy, and that we could come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise you each and every day, even in the midst of trying times, even in the midst of difficulties, even when we're disappointed, even when we've even failed. You still love us, and you love the world, that you would die for us. So may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts today as we praise you. Your name is holy. Holy, holy, holy. And Lord, if there's even one who's never, ever publicly said, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and I'm ready to be baptized like these others have been, may this even be the day when those who haven't will. And Father, we will praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's stand. As God speaks to your heart, maybe the altar needs to be open today for you to just come and pray for a moment and rededicate your life to him and ask whatever prayer is on your heart. But if you need to receive Christ, I'll be here waiting on you. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's pray as we're dismissed. Father, thank you for loving us and taking care of us each and every day. And like Mary and Elizabeth, you have spoken to our hearts, and we know the truth. The scripture says the truth will set us free. So we ask you to be with us and fill us with your presence. In Christ's name, amen.